There are crusaders, and then there are crusaders. There are those people who take a position, who see a wrong, and do everything that they can to right it. Ralph Nader certainly was one of those crusaders in the United States. Phil Edmonston, his Lemonade book has in so many ways rescued people who have been the victims of the automotive world. We'll be talking a little bit more later this morning about what's going on in the automotive world. But if there is a crusader that I'm privileged to welcome to this radio program on an ongoing basis, it is George Balke. He is a member of the Credit Institute. He is part of the Association of Finance and Insurance Professionals. And for 25 years, he's been talking about credit and finance in our studios a couple of weeks ago as he was dispensing advice free of charge. If you want to know more, just go to yourmoneybook.com where you'll find out about George Balke. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you. I'm looking at the American book that you wrote, Fighting Back, How to Take Back Fiscal Control, Restore Your Credit, Reach Debt Freedom, which I guess goes hand in glove with where you wanted to go today.
Yeah. You know, when two people ask it, there's a lot more interested.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was an older lady that I don't think has internet, so I told her to stick by. It's dealing with a collection agency. There's 440 of them in the country, and they collect about $500 million a year. There is nothing more stressful in a financial world than having to deal with a collection agency, but it doesn't need to be. They're all licensed, and they have rules to follow. They don't always follow rules because the agency's on commission, and all the collectors you talk to are on commission. So the problem with collection agencies is they can't use the ultimate threat of repossession, like your car, or foreclosure. They're collecting stuff that doesn't have collateral. It's $400, $500, $600 things. It's some cities now subcontract out, you know, parking fines and what have you, and it's mostly credit card collection.
But they, they use words that have been time tested and true, and they have ways of verbally expressing things that people just shrivel before the verbal onslaught that comes their way down the phone line.
It is absolute psychological warfare because they don't have the ultimate threat. Now, you have rights. You got to take a deep breath. If you do not have money, they can't get money from a stone. They can sue you, but if you don't have money, it doesn't much matter. And Canada does not have debtor's prison, so you do have rights. The first right is you have the right to have them stop calling you at work. The second one is that you have the right to have your debt fully broken down in writing, what the original amount was, when it happened, what the interest is, and all the fees and penalties they've tacked on. They cannot sue you after 2 years of last activity. Hear that really clearly, the last transaction. So if it's been 2 years since your last payment, they can't take you to court. They can keep calling you, but they have no more legal rights. Do not ever, ever send them a note or an email acknowledging the debt or even paying $1. That simple step of acknowledging, yeah, I owe the money, you know, from an old Visa bill, or sending them $1, that simple step simply resets that two-year clock, and everything starts fresh.
Get out!
That's why they go, look, just pay me $5 so I can tell my boss that something's happening, sign of good faith. I don't have time to go through all of it. You pay them $1, you've reset the clock. If you don't have the money, as I said, no debtor's prison. Take a deep breath. When they phone you, I don't have the money, I don't have the assets, please stop calling me, hang up the phone. And then you just stop answering the calls, block the calls, whatever. If you do have the money, you might want to settle with them if they're legally entitled to the money. Settling it, you negotiate the settlement with them. It's likely that half of that money is interest and fees. So you're going to offer them 30 cents on the dollar. If you owe a grand, tell them, look, I can find $300 if you'll accept that as a settlement. Then you haggle from there, 40 cents on the dollar, whatever. When you agree on the amount, you must get it in writing. If you do not have it in writing, it did not happen. So you mail them the money. You don't have a letter that says this is settled, and they'll collect the rest of it from you down the road.
Does email count these days?
Email counts just fine. Then you're going to get a bank draft or a money order and mail it to them. Simple as that. Never send them a personal check, because if you send them a personal check, they have all your banking information and will jam through a second transaction. Lastly, keep the settlement letter and the money order receipt for the rest of your life. They may sell a whole batch of collections to another company, and that company will start all over again. So you need proof that you paid it, plus you need to send it to the credit bureau, so this collection is now removed. Never a personal check, always in writing. Haggle at 30 cents on the dollar and work your way up from there. When you have it in writing, money order, keep it forever. And if you don't have the money, hang up the telephone.
On your website?
YourMoneyBook.com, just click on Radio Stories. The last 300 or 400 are always on there.
All right. George Bulkey, as always, a pleasure on a Wednesday morning talking about your money. It's your money? I just love the subtext on that cover of that book. It's Tools, Tips, and Tricks to Borrow Smarter. And here's the best part of it at all, and pay it off quicker.